Welcome to Bible Insights with Wayne Conrad. God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light on our path. The entrance of God's truth brings revelation, it brings light, and it brings understanding to the simple, to those who hear the Word, believe the Word. Tonight's topic is Jesus' last Passover with his disciples. Jesus' last Passover. Now, sometimes we refer to that meal that Christ shared with his 12 the night before his trial and crucifixion as the Last Supper. In reality, this is a misnomer. It's not Christ's Last Supper because Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day. And in fact, on the resurrection day, he meets with his disciples that evening with the two on the road to Emmaus, and he sat down at table with them, and then he disappeared. But he reappeared in the room where the disciples were hiding, and also it was an occasion when they were eating. And Christ shared a meal with his disciples in his post-resurrection days. In fact, he even cooked one for them on the seashore. So it's a misnomer to call it the Last Supper, but it is truly the last Passover that Christ shared with his disciples. Now, the Passover was a yearly festival, and Jesus, as a very observant Jew, observed the Passover every year. In fact, we're told in Luke 12 that he went to Jerusalem with his parents on that particular Passover occasion. But this is the last Passover, and it carries great significance. I want to read the account to you. It's found in Mark's Gospel, which is probably Peter's own recollection because he may have been one of the disciples that Jesus sent into the city. I'm reading from Mark chapter 14 and verse 12. And on the first day of unleavened bread, you see, unleavened bread and the Passover, they both take place within a week. So on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where will you have us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. And there, prepare for us." And the disciples set out, and they went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. That means that they selected the lamb, that they killed the lamb, and they cooked the meal. And when Jesus and the other disciples arrived, everything was in readiness. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table, Jesus began to speak to them. He spoke to them about the fact that one of you will betray me, and also he spoke to them about the great commandment, the new commandment that he was giving them as his disciples. He spoke to them about many things. Much of that is recorded in John's Gospel, chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, and his prayer in John 17. This was a leisurely meal, a symbolic meal, and on this occasion, it was a very long meal before he went forth with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Now, why is the Passover so very significant? Well, it's significant in the life of the Hebrews because it's the feast of their liberation. It's the feast of freedom. But you see, that liberation and that freedom came at a dreadful cost. Moses was sent back into Egypt, where he had lived as a child. And He went back as God's deliverer, his appointed man to deliver the Hebrews from Egypt and from the slavery, the subjection they had under Pharaoh. But Pharaoh was not going to let them go. So God visited with judgment upon the land 10 great plagues. 9 of them was horrible enough, but the 10th is the worst. And the 10th plague was the most devastating one, and it affected both the Egyptians and the Israelites. So in all, God sent 10 plagues. The last was the death of the firstborn. Reading from Exodus 11. And Yahweh said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will release you from this place. When he releases you, he will drive you out completely from this place. And Moses said, thus says Yahweh, about midnight, I will go throughout Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt will die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne to the firstborn son of the slave girl who is at her handmill. So the last plague was indeed the worst, falling on Egyptian and Israelites alike, falling on man and beast. There was only one way of escape, and God gave that way of escape to the Hebrews. But if you were to escape the judgment of the firstborn, you must follow his instructions explicitly. If you did not follow his instructions and you were outside of your dwelling that had been protected by the blood of the Passover lamb, then your firstborn would die, just like everyone else. Here's the instructions given in Exodus chapter 12. Take a lamb. Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, the 10th day of this month, they each must take a lamb for themselves according to their families, a lamb for each household. But this lamb had to be a male without blemish. It couldn't be deformed or defective or sick in any way. God was asking for a perfect lamb in the prime of its life. Exodus 12:5. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat with no defects. The next instruction in verse 6, kill the lamb at the appointed time. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of the first month. So you selected it on the 10th day. You had it around with your family. This is a young lamb. The children would get to know the lamb, etc. But on the 14th day of the evening, the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or young goat at twilight. So when darkness began to fall, they must kill the young lamb or goat. After they have killed it, they must collect the blood in a basin. And they will take some of the blood and put it on the two side posts and top of the door frame of the houses where they will eat it. In addition, chapter 12:22 says, none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. So they had to apply the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. That made sort of like a cross sign. Go into their house, shut the door, and remain there all night. They must not venture outside the door of his house until the morning. Do not break any of the bones, God said in Exodus 12:46. Each Passover lamb must be eaten in one house. Do not carry any of its meat outside. Do not break any of its bones. If any of it was left over, it was to be consumed by fire the next day. And this is what happened in Exodus 12, verses 12 and 13. And on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and will strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am Yahweh. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. So your firstborn will be protected by the blood of the Lamb. In a real sense, the Lamb of the Passover died for the firstborn of the people of Israel, for their households. When God came in judgment to kill the firstborn, if the blood was applied on that house, whoever was in that house was protected. God would pass over every house where the blood was applied. And so the people of Israel did just as Yahweh had commanded through Moses and Aaron. And their obedience was outward evidence that they trusted God. They believed what he said was true, and they believed that he would protect them because of the blood of the Lamb that had been shed on their behalf. Now, Jesus celebrates this meal every year, but on this year, this would be the year when he, who is the true Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world, was to be sacrificed for the sins of his people. Can you imagine what's going through his heart and through his mind? As on this day and this meal that's so symbolic of what not only what God did in Egypt in the years past when he delivered the Hebrews from slavery and brought them into freedom, but what God had appointed him to do. For he is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. That means in God's eternal decree and predestination, Jesus was the Lamb of God, and he would be sacrificed on behalf of his people. Because of his death, the firstborn would be delivered. You see, the Lamb took the place of the firstborn of the Hebrews, and Christ takes the position of those who will be born of God through faith in his name by God's election and his predestination and grace. And so our Lord Jesus Christ, sitting down with his 12 on that day, is going to take the emblems that represent him and what he will do in the next 24 hours. And he breaks the bread and he shares the cup of wine. He eats the meat with his disciples, and they share morsels together. He speaks to them of what will come to pass after he has ascended back into heaven. They don't fully understand. These things have not yet come to pass, and they've never yet been able to wrap their minds around all of these things that Jesus keeps speaking about. But they love him. They trust him. They believe in him. And now they're celebrating the meal with him. But can you imagine his own heart, his own emotional feeling as he takes the bread in his hand and he breaks it and he says to them, "This bread is my body, which is given for you." And then he takes the third cup of the ceremonial meal, that third cup of wine, and he says to them, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the forgiveness of the sins of many. Take and drink." Christ is speaking of himself. So he now turns the Passover meal of the old covenant into a new covenant sign. No longer do we keep the old Passover, though sometimes we enact some of it as a teaching device. But we no longer keep that Passover, because the true Passover came in Jesus Christ our Lord. And the meal we celebrate is the new covenant sign. It's what we call the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, the sacrament of the new covenant. It speaks not of the typical Lamb, but of the true Lamb of God, of Jesus Christ himself. Now consider how Jesus Christ fulfills every part of the commandment given and instruction given by God for the Hebrews to do. They were to take a lamb. A lamb was selected. Well, our lamb was taken and selected from all eternity by the counsels of the triune God. The Father appointed the Lamb, Jesus, to be the Lamb. He must be a lamb without blemish. Christ was a perfect lamb. He is sinless. He can never be convicted of sin. He even challenged the leaders at one time, convince me of any sin, convict me of any sin, for there was none. And even though they charged him with them at the end, none of them can prove it. Christ himself spoke the words that ultimately damned him. He spoke the truth, and that he told them that he was the anointed one, the promised one of God, spoken of in Daniel chapter 7. He was the Lamb without blemish. He was killed at the appointed time. At the time God appointed, he was sacrificed on the cross, and he died at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, which is the very moment when the Lamb was to be sacrificed for the offerings on a daily basis. His blood must be applied. It must be applied to our lives by the act of faith that God himself generates within us and within our hearts. But we must apply the blood through personal faith. We are in Christ. He is our protection. He is our salvation. None of the bones of the lambs were to be broken, and Christ's legs were not broken on the cross. Though the other two who were crucified with him had their legs broken, Jesus was already dead, so they did not break his legs in fulfillment of prophecy and of this type sign. And God himself has passed over all who are in Christ Jesus, because the judgment that was due us fell on him. And because the punishment has been paid and the judgment is passed, we are free. You're free in Jesus Christ through trust in him, by calling upon his name to save you, to apply by the Spirit's work the gift of faith, that you can trust your whole being upon the Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away your sin through personal faith in him. This has been Wayne Conrad with Bible Insights.